I am going to share some quick thoughts with us. Basically, bringing together a good number of the things that we've been talking about during the past 5 or so days. And I'd like to start out by looking at Romans 10 and verse 17. This is a passage of scripture that we are very familiar with, where the word of God clearly states, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, but hearing comes by the word of God. And looking at that verse closely, what we can surmise from it is that we are all deaf until the word of God comes. And that makes sense in the fact that we all, before the word of God reached us, were hardened, rebellious in our hearts. We did not know God. So it is the word of God that penetrates the deafness. And that deafness is not necessarily the deafness of your physical hearing, it is the deafness of the heart. When you are deaf, there can be a lot of noise around you and you don't hear it. You may sense the vibration of it, but you don't hear it. So when even though your hearing is sensory, when you're deaf, you utilize other senses to grasp or have an understanding of what is being said. You might read people's lips. You might live your life based on vibrations around you. But what you do not have is the ability to use the proper tools to derive the right answers that you need. So instead of using your ears to hear, you're using your eyes, or you're using your skin, you're using whatever else to try to figure out what is being said. Now, the same is true with man who doesn't have God. He tries to figure out what the right thing is by trying to use other senses, whether it is judging people by their looks, by how much money they have in their pocket, by what race they belong to, and categorizing things based on other things that is not based on pure truth. Are you with me so far? Okay. So, it is imperative that we hear. And the word of God is very specific. It says our ability to hear happens by the entrance of the word of God. The entrance of the word of God brings about enlightenment, the word of God says. We are enlightened when the word of God comes. Until the word of God comes, we are still in the dark. We really do not know. But then, when you have the ability to hear by the presence of the word of God that gives you that ability to hear, the word of God says here that faith also comes by this hearing. So when you have the ability to hear, now you will be able to understand. You will receive the ability to be infused with the grace to know that you know that you know that whatever it is that you've heard shall come to pass. In other words, you become one with God. Because knowing that whatever it is God said is the truth happens because you have become one with God. You've become one in agreement with God. It's the word of God that comes first. The word of God gives you the ability to hear. And now that you heard, you come into agreement with God. Because faith is about agreement. Let me say that again. Faith is about agreement. Say it a third time. Faith is about agreement. It's about agreeing with God. Agreeing with what God is showing. Faith. Now faith, it goes on to say, is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Let me look at that passage of scripture real quickly in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 in verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance is the word hypostasis. Now hypostasis means to set something under, to set under a support. So it is a word that is similar to the word for patience, which is the word hupomone. Both words, though different, are stating the same thing. It is the ability to abide under a shelter. So faith is the substance of you being able to stay under the covering of the Word of God. The Word of God. Now, it's interesting that this same word that we see here as hypostasis is used in Hebrews chapter 1. And let me show you that in Hebrews 1. And then we'll consider what the Word of God says in Hebrews 1. In Hebrews 1, it's talking about Jesus in verse 3, and it says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. The express image of his person. The express image of his person. That word there, the express image of his person, the word person there is that same word, hypostasis. So, faith then, if hypostasis here and the express image of his person is about Jesus, then faith is Jesus manifested. But Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, right? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, Jesus then is that express image, and he's that substance, and he's that Word. For everything that was created out of the Word. Or everything that was created came out of Jesus. Are you with me? So, everything, when you talk about faith, faith is God's way of manifesting in the natural, visible realm a particular declaration of God in the heavenlies. And we here on the earth, when we hear that voice, we are called to say the same thing here. And what we say here comes into agreement with what he has already said, and that's how it gets manifested. Are you with me so far? We are all together? So, this is why listening to God is so crucial, it's so important, because it is going to be the manifestation or the creation of my future. It is the manifestation or the creation of my future. Because my future is born out of the Word of God. Everything that is came out of the Word. Every future that is came out of the Word of God. Now, if I don't learn how to hear what God has to say, then I have no future that is real. Because I have not spoken it. Because the future that you step into that is God-like is founded from the foundations of the Word of God that you have heard and you're prophesying. But if you don't have what God says, guess what you're going to do? You're going to say what the devil says to you with other senses, and that's the future you're going to create for yourself. But that future, good, bad, or ugly, will collapse. Because the only thing that will ultimately stay is what God says. What God says is what is going to stay. What you say in agreement with God is what is going to stay. What you don't say in agreement with God will not abide. Wealth, resources, looks, whatever it is that you do, based on what you've not heard from God, it's a mirage. After a while, it will dissipate. It will fall apart. It will not last. Anything that is not born out of faith, faith, and remember what we're talking about faith here, is what you heard from God, not my private imaginations, not my ideas and my philosophies and my thought patterns and whatever else. That is not faith. That is maybe presumption, maybe positive thinking, but it's not faith. Faith is only from God. Faith only comes from the Word of God. Faith only proceeds from God. Everything else is coming out of your natural mind or whatever else that you're using, like the guy who is deaf and now has to depend on other senses to make any decision he's trying to make, not the hearing. Now, our hearing is with our heart. And that's why it is absolutely important that we cultivate a sensitive heart. Now, you are not going to have a sensitive heart if you are always rebelling against the Word of God. You're not going to have a sensitive heart to the dealings of God if you are practicing unforgiveness or bitterness or any such thing. You are not going to truly hear from God because your heart is hardened. And the Bible tells us about hardened hearts. But we must do everything to keep our hearts sensitive. And the way we do so is to walk in love and with love, one with another. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at something here in the book of Jeremiah. Time is going so quickly on me here. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, Jeremiah 7 and verse 23. It's a very interesting passage of scripture. And I know that I'm just picking particular verses, but it's important to read the whole context of a passage. It says, "But this thing commanded I them," talking about the children of Israel, "saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God." Obey my voice, and I will be your God. Obey my voice, and I will be your God. In other words, if you don't obey my voice, I cannot be God to you. You don't belong to me. If I'm not your God, you don't belong to me. He says, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well unto you. That it may be well unto you. Walk in all I've commanded you, that it may be well unto you, that things will go well for you. He says in verse 24, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear. They hearkened not. They did not listen, nor inclined their ear. In other words, bowed themselves to hear what I have to say. But walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. They went backward and not forward. Why? Because they did not listen to what God had to say. They did not obey the instruction of the Lord. Now, it's quite interesting. Let me go to the book of Genesis real quickly. Genesis, I believe, 26. Genesis 26, we hear the story of this young man, Isaac. He was in a state of famine. God speaks to him. God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do that for you. And says, stay here. Don't go back to Egypt. Don't go backwards. Just stay here. I'm going to bless you here. But where he was had famine. There was a famine there. And as he approached this land of Gerar, he tells his wife, he says, from now on, you're going to be my sister. You don't say you're my wife and so on and so forth. Incidentally, that's what his father had done, you know, years before with a wife, called his wife the sister. Now, as long as he lived that lie, it didn't matter that God had given him a promise that he was going to be blessed. As long as he was living that lie, which was a lack of reliance on God. God says, stay here, I'm going to bless you here. If he believed that word completely, then he didn't have to say that the wife was a sister. He believed partially that God was going to bless him. And so the Bible says he stayed there. And he stayed there for a long time. Partial obedience is not faith. Only complete obedience is faith. And as long as it's not complete faith, God is not obligated to do anything. He's not obligated to do anything. He says to Isaac, you stay here, I'm going to bless you. He says in verse 1, and there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him. The Lord appeared unto him. The Lord appeared unto him and said, God appeared to him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I tell thee of, sojourn in this land, and I will bless thee, and I will bless thee, and I'll be with thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed. What's this? Unto you and unto your seed I will give all these countries, and I'll perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. I promise your father something. I am going to manifest it in your time. Now, this is where it becomes a struggle. Because what is a guarantee that you, God, who told my father that you're going to bless him and his seed, and you didn't do it the way you said you were going to do it, that you're going to do it for me? What's my guarantee? Was a guarantee that you who said you're going to make me great and you told my father that and he was not as great as he should be, that you're going to make me great? Well, the greatness that God said about his father is different from the greatness that God is going to manifest in him. The greatness of his father is that through his father, all the world, everybody's going to be blessed. The greatness of his father was that Jesus was going to come, and the Gentiles, because of his father, was going to connect them to his father for them to receive the blessing. It's totally different. You don't know the details of the engagement. All you need to know is what God said to you. God said to him, you stay here, I'm going to bless you there. And he stays. That's a good thing. He stays. But God says, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless your seed. But so what does the thinking about, if you say you're my wife, they're going to kill me, come from? Comes from fear. Fear that is born on whatever it is the history of that place is. God could care less about the history of the place. God could care less about whatever it is that had happened there before. If God says something to you, what he said is the truth. And it's like me asking God some questions the other day. And I was asking him, what about this, and what about this, and what about this, and what about this? And he says to me, are you asking me? What did I tell you yesterday? What did I tell you at 3 a.m.? What did I say to you? And I went and I read it. It was still on the same page. I read what he said. Oh, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Says, look back at this same time 2 days ago. I go at the same exact same time. Whatever it is I was asking over here, God has already addressed a day or two before. And I am concerning myself. Why was I concerning myself? I was concerning myself because of whatever experiences I've had before now. Oh, but this didn't happen then, and that didn't happen, or this is not happening yet, and so on. So I'm concerning myself about all this stuff. And meanwhile, he's telling me something that he's going to do. And he's been repeating it. This one I'm going to do, what I'm going to do, this one I'm going to do, this one I'm going to do. And I'm thinking, how is all this going to happen? Well, it's not up to me for it to happen. It's for me to believe that God, who said what he said, will bring to pass what he said he will bring to pass. After all, he said, no longer shall my word be delayed. I have to receive that word, and I have to continue with that word and stop arguing the point. God, you said, so it is. And so it was with Isaac. He's trying to figure out things in his natural mind. And as a result, even though God told him in verse 4, and I will make thy seed to multiply. I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And I will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. But it says, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife. Lest said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. Well, God, I know what you said, but, you know, these people are going to kill me. Well, if you know what God said, and you know that God said that your seed shall be made great, then where's this seed going to come from if you're dead? That is the lack of reasoning that comes into play when we are doubting what God has to say. He goes on and says, and it came to pass when he had been there a long time, he was there for a long time, that Abimelech saw him sporting with his wife, and calls him in. And he repents, and then the Bible says, Abimelech commanded or charged, verse 11, charged all his people, saying, he that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Wow! He was afraid that this guy was going to mess him up, kill him, and take his wife. And now the guy is saying, now anybody that touches this guy, I'm going to kill them. Now, what has he done? He's delayed the manifestation of the blessing by his doubt. He delayed it. His father delayed it, his birth, and now he's causing a delay of what God said. But when he finally obeyed the instruction of God, It says, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. He sowed now in that same land that he'd been sowing in for all these years, and nothing was happening. He was getting no results. He finally sowed in that land when he comes clean. And God blesses him. He receives a 100-fold return on his investment. And the man waxed great. He was great and went forward. This is why I brought you to this passage. He went forward and grew until he became very great. How? Because he finally obeyed the instruction of God. He finally believed what God said, not his circumstance. And the enemy wants us to tie ourselves to our circumstance. And God says, no, no, no. Listen to what I have to say and just follow what I say to you. Just do what I say. Stop comparing yourself with other people or even your own past experience, because you don't know. You are clueless to whatever your past experience is. You don't know. You think you know, but you don't. And after 40 years of 40-something plus years of following the Lord, I know these realities. But that doesn't mean that I'm immune to the fact that I don't face these challenges at different times. But the reality is, when you face a challenge, when your heart is not hardened, when God speaks to you, you are able to repent. But when you've hardened your heart, it doesn't matter, you won't even hear God. You're going to be feeling your way through life. You try this, and you try that, and you try this, and you try that. Maybe this works. And so you follow Broadway and Main Street and whatever else that the world is doing to try to mimic what God wants to do. So today, we can build our churches based on fun. Doesn't matter. Based on lighting, based on music. It doesn't matter whether it's spirit-led or whatever, as long as it's good music, good choir, you know, good social media stuff, and so on and so forth. Well, you can do all kinds of stuff that way. But ultimately, what are you birthing? Is it born out of faith? I remember various times that God has called us to do different things. And when we start doing it, he says, shut it down. Stop it. I said, but Lord, you said to do this. Yes, I told you before, and now I'm telling you no. Now what do? Do you continue doing what you were instructed to do before, or do you follow the present instruction? Obedience is a continuous act. It's not just whatever it is God said before. It is what is God saying now? What is God saying now? What is God asking you for now? And you keep on obeying God, step by step by step by step. And ultimately, God will honor, because, you see, he says, I will make you great. It's not you making yourself great. It's God making you great. If God intends today and says, you know, I'm going to add 3,000 people to you today, what stops God? Really, what stops God from adding 3,000 people or 5,000 people or 15,000 people in one quick swoop? What stops God? Nothing. But what stops you from receiving that? Obedience or disobedience? Yeah? You know, so the issue is, God, here I am. I surrender myself to you. I just want what you want. And when you do that, you don't have to feed the monster that you created, because you didn't create anything. But if you do it in your own ability, you're going to have to maintain that thing. You're going to have to maintain it. You're going to have to come up with another great idea. After this idea is finished, you have to come up with, because once you build based on just ideas that came out of you, wow, it will be like you thinking, as I did many years ago, and I'll do this, and I'll sit down and we'll be quiet before the Lord. I remember when I was in India many years ago, and the Lord was using me to bring healing to the people. On one level, I knew I was not the one doing it. But on another level, the devil had convinced me that it was my faith, it was me doing these miracles. And so I said to God, I don't want the healing anointing in my life. Please take it from me. He says, why don't you want it? I said, because people are expecting me to heal them every time. It's too much pressure. I don't want it. So you say, you really don't want it? I said, I don't want it. What foolishness. You say, you didn't think like that? No, sure I did. I sure did. I don't know where that foolish thought came from, but it was there. I thought I was doing something. And then I repented, but the grace did not come right away. It got restored again. But now, I'm relaxed. Because I know I'm not the one doing anything. So I just come, I say, you're healed. I don't need to pray for you. And I see results. Not everybody's getting healed right away. But I'm seeing results. I'm seeing deaf people hearing. And I didn't do nothing. I did absolutely nothing. I cannot take credit for it. But I'm relaxed. If nothing happens, nothing happened. I didn't say I'm the healer. It's totally different now. But it's listening. May God's grace be upon every one of us as we listen to Him today. And may His power establish us as we continue this walk of faith. Let us be quiet before the Lord, and we'll be back at 8 o'clock.